Blog Talk Radio.
Idle time has already been lost.
worrying about people's thoughts.
I'm the messenger, Yah, stepping out of Beulah. From Babylon to Zion, my chains are looser. In my mind, down here, the Jakes are shooting. The judge judged for hire, the jury's straight hired. Just to see Israel fried up. They got our phones tapped and wired up. The police got you stuck. No one desires us. This law requires us to buy this man's trust. Pay to get salvation. Who you playing? But I pulled your card. I seen you starving. False light. My spit lyrics so cold, your frostbite. And that's the attitude from your murderous plight. From your rapist every night. And young boys shot down.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Ishya Yisrael from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. We'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in our listening audience and viewing audience, to hear the word of Yah. For we know that the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great fear and love toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the creator, and there is none else beside Yah. And it is Yahweh that has ordained us to bring you his words of truth. And that's what we're going to do. And today, or tonight rather, we will be bringing you the word of Yahweh with the subject of the talebearer and the liar. We've been teaching this week about the type of characteristics you don't want to have, the type of characteristics you don't want to follow after. For it is the job and the duty of Yahweh's watchmen, servants, messengers to teach his people the clean from the unclean and the holy from the unholy. And the only way we're able to do that if we show you the things that are, as in fact, unholy, unclean, and unrighteous. So you know what not to do, where not to go, who not to be, and how not to do it. If you did not know these things, then you would fall into these death-defying traps. Of course, we taught earlier this week on the fool in the scriptures. And of course, the fool in the scriptures is the exact opposite of the wise in the scriptures. The fool in the scriptures lacks wisdom. Wisdom's too high for the fool. The fool in the scriptures doesn't believe in Elohim. Says there is no Elohim. Believes that Elohim doesn't see what he or she is doing. The fool in the scriptures thinks that it is a delight to do foolishness. And the fool in the scriptures is void of wisdom. And so, anyone that falls under the category of a fool is liable to become a scorner and be simple. Because if you're a fool, then you scorn. You'll speak words against the Most High, his people, his laws, without remorse, without regret, without restraint, without conscience, because you're a fool. A fool doesn't heed the warnings of the Most High, because a fool hates instruction. And a fool is simple. A fool doesn't care about what is being said. He'll believe it just because he wants to. And of course, if you're a fool, then what's being a talebearer or a liar? Because these type of people are doing foolishness. And so that's what we're going to deal with this evening, the talebearer and the liar. And let me show you what the Proverbs say about this liar. In Proverbs 13 chapter, the 5th verse, it reads, "A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame." You see, that's how you know a lot of us are just shameful. That's why we got to ask the Most High mercy and forgiveness. That's why we got to seek Yahweh, because we've been some shameful, loathsome people. And why have we been shameful and loathsome people? Because a righteous man hates lying. And if a righteous man hates lying, that's a good measuring stick to judge your own righteousness. If you yourself are righteous, do you hate lying? And if you hate lying, that means you're not going to lie. That means you're going to avoid it at all costs, because a righteous man hates it. But a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Why is that? Because a wicked man lies. There is no tomorrow. That's what the wicked do. They lie when they wake up. They lie when they walk the way. They lie when they sit down. They lie before they lay down. They lie at every cost. That's what the wicked does. They built their life on lies. Their whole house is built on lies. And they can't survive without telling a lie, because they're wicked. There's a Psalms that say the wicked are estranged from the womb as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And how does the Most High feel about the lies? In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16, it reads, "These 6 things does Yahweh hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him." A proud look is the first thing the Most High hates. See, because that light, that look, that vision, because that's what was first. That's the order. That's what comes first. Yahweh's order deals with light first, how you see first, how you look first. How are you looking at things? What is your vision? Where is light at? And if your look is proud, the first thing that lays the foundation for your foolish behavior, the first thing that lays the foundation for our foolish characteristics, our foolish ways, is a proud look. Meaning we just too good to do good. We can do whatever we want. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. A proud look. And the second thing the Most High hate is a lying tongue. Because that's exactly what's gonna follow a proud look. You're gonna establish everything you see with words that are built in falsehood. This is not the way to be, and it is a shame that we have been such transgressors and such abominable people that we have accepted and walked in a mountain of lies. Speak lies, believe lies, teach lies, support lies, and protect lies. And the Most High hates a lying tongue. Yet there is only one way to be recovered from being something the Most High hates. It's in the book of Zephaniah. In the book of Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter, start reading in verse 11. It says, "In that day, shall you not be ashamed for all your doings, wherein you have transgressed against me. Then will I take away out of you the midst of you, them that rejoice in your pride, and you shall no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in I will also leave in the midst of you an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. To recover, be healed, and to not be counted as one of the wicked, or the shameful, or the haughty, then you cannot speak lies. Lies is a disqualifying trait from you making it home. And what does the Creator say more about these lies? In the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, in verse 5, it says, every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. So the best way to not speak lies is to speak the word of Elohim. Because every word of Yahweh is pure. And if we fill ourselves with the word of the Creator, then lies can be extinguished from our mouth. But look here in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Because there's a certain type of person that will speak lies and that will carry secrets and that will tell tales. And this is in the book of Isaiah 44, verse 24 says, thus saith Yahweh your Redeemer, and he that formed you from the womb, I am Yahweh that make all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself. You see, this is what Yah said, which means anyone saying anything other than that is a liar. Anyone saying that anyone else beside the Creator, before the Creator, or after the Creator, created anything that's in existence is a liar. There is no other Elohim, and there is no other Creator but Yahweh. He made all things by himself. It is Yahweh in verse 25 that frustrates the tokens, which are signs, of the liars. Meaning what? Meaning, you got a sign, but you a liar. Your sign is false. You're supporting it. It might hold up among the simple. Your signs might hold up among the simple, but they don't hold up among Yah. Because Yah frustrates the tokens, the signs of the liars, and make his diviners mad. That turns the wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolish. And the liar's got a lot of signs. Look what it says in the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. in the first verse. You shall not raise a false report. Put not your hand with the wicked, an unrighteous witness. You shall not raise a false report. That means don't be a lying witness. Don't raise a false account. Don't tell a fake story that somebody did, somebody said, somebody saw. Don't run around telling stories, bringing up tales, and being an unrighteous witness with the wicked. Of course, there's a lot of microcosmic things you can talk about when it comes to this. What I mean by microcosmic, small things on a small scale. There's a lot of little things we could talk about when it comes to raising false reports. But there's overarching things that create the little things. And if you deal with the overarching lies and false reports, then these little lies, these small-time lies, and these small-time liars will become null and void, because their signs will be frustrated. And how do you deal with these overarching lies? And there's an overarching lie in the earth. And the overarching lie in the earth is that there is someone else beside Yahweh. Believe there's another God except for the Most High. You think that your gods are stupid, brainless, mindless, because you're worshiping idols. You're dealing with idolatry, and you're following devils in these huge overarching lies and false reports create a multitude of liars. If you look in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, in the 12th verse, it reads, "If a ruler listens or hearkens unto lies, all of his servants are wicked." That's right. If a ruler hearkens unto lies, the entire 116th Congress is wicked. That's right. Every senator, every congressman, every representative in every state, and in every county, and in every city, and in every town, and in every village, on every board that serves the ruler of this country is wicked. Because why? If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. All of them. If the Christ of the New Testament is your ruler, you are wicked. Why? Because the Christ of the New Testament not only hearkens to lies, he is a lie. Muhammad is a lie. All your false gods are lies. And they're all built on false reports. and you have created and you have been indoctrinated and you have been born into a society that is built on these false reports, that is structured on these false reports. And this is why you have so much mayhem. This is why you have so much chaos, because all the governments, all the municipalities, all the cities, all the towns, all the governing bodies, all the boards of directors, all the village representatives, they all are hearkening and following lying rulers. It's overarching. It's the big picture. So it's nothing for the captain of the team to lie. And it's surely nothing for these pastors to teach a litany of lies in the church every Sunday. And you know the ruler supports your pastor because the government bankrolls the churches. Bankrolls them. And the pastors know it. And they bite their tongue and they close their eyes so they can continue being fed the coin. So look at your rulership. Look at the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, 16th verse, which reads, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err. They that are led of them are destroyed." If you follow a lying leader, a wicked leader, a false report-raising leader, then you are following in error. If you go into the church on a Sunday and your leader in the church tells you Jesus lives and you follow it, you're in error. If you sit in your house and the head of the house raises the false report and tells you Muhammad is the last and true prophet of the Creator, that's a lie, and you follow it, then you're walking in error. If you go to whatever organization and they raise the false reports claiming something against the word of Yahweh, it is a lie, and you follow them in error. So how much more then are we, the little people that don't run anything, that have followed after these things? See, here in the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, the 13th verse reads, "Therefore Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. And if the precept of men is largely a mountain of lies, then what are we doing? We are in a culture of deceivers. That's why it is such a challenging task for your people, for our people, to know the truth, hear the truth, and do the truth. Because there's so many lies. And let's not even talk about our personal lives. If you're listening in around all the lies. You're personally, most likely, walking in a pool of deceit. See, this is what the scriptures say in the book of Psalms, 119. Let's look at verse 27. Make me to know, make me to understand the way of your precepts, so I shall talk of your wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen you me according to your word. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have I laid before me. Now, to declare this, you got to really examine what the psalmist was saying. He said, make me understand the way of your precepts. And if you have wisdom on the order of the Creator, understand. To understand essentially means to obey. Understand essentially means that you heard the Creator and you walking in His ways. You doing what He said. So if you understand, if asking for the understanding of the Creator's precept, of His way, then you can talk of the wondrous works. Then the vain rhetoric becomes lesser and lesser and lesser. Because now you can talk about Yahweh's wondrous works. And where is Yahweh's wondrous works? It's in His law. Then, walking and being quickened and straightened according to the word of the Creator, this is how you remove from lies. Because you are trying to, you're attempting to be immersed in the word of the Creator. This is why, if you look here, in the book of Exodus, here in Exodus, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse, it says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice unto Yahweh our Elohim, lest he falls upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now, why did Yahweh want to bring his people out? Because we were serving an oppressor. We were serving a slave master. We were serving a bond master. Somebody that didn't give us rest. Somebody that watched over us and pressed us down to where we couldn't just go and serve Yah and feast to Yah and sacrifice to Yahweh and just have Yahweh on our mind. We needed to become free from the bondage. That's why it is a blessing when Yahweh said, I am Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, which brought you out of the land of bondage, out of the house of bondage. That is a blessing to be out of the house of bondage, to be free from an overseer. So you can't just wake up and give praise to Yah and think about how you're going to serve Yahweh all day. When you're in bondage, you got to serve this man. And Yahweh wants you to serve him. In order to do that, you got to be focused on the Creator. And in order for Yahweh to build a nation, he's not going to do it inside of another nation. Can't do it hearkening to lies, obeying a lying system, teaching your children a lying doctrine, raising false reports. You got to get out and you have to depart from these confusing ways. These lies will destroy you. But what else? If you go to the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and then reading in the first verse where it says, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. And I wanted to point out here that the Most High says, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel. Because though Yahweh don't want you to be a liar, he don't want you to be as the wicked that are liars. He also don't want you to hurt your own people. So the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, says, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. Essentially, you shouldn't have to lie. You shouldn't lie at all. But that doesn't mean you have to always reveal your words. You don't have to always reveal your thoughts. You don't have to always reveal a secret thing. Even the Creator keeps secrets. As evident in the book of Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter and the 29th verse, the secret things belong unto Yahweh. But those things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are secret things. The father of Samson asked the angel that told Manoah and his wife about Samson, their child that would be born. Manoah asked the angel, he said, what is your name? The angel said, why should I tell you this? For this is a secret. You don't need to know my name. Manoah already was like, let's make a sacrifice. If he would have knew the name of the angel, he would have sacrificed in the name of the angel. taking the glory away from Yahweh. And the angel understood this. And the angel wasn't trying to get his own glory, because the angel knew that he's the messenger of Yah, and that he's just bringing the message of the Most High. He's not bringing this message for his own glory. So why you need to know my name? This is a secret. Yahweh has secrets. There's a proverb that lets you know that it is a glory unto Yah to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to search it out. If you want to know the secret things of the Most High, then search them out. Ask Yahweh to reveal them to you. But he ain't going to reveal everything to you. And if Yahweh has secrets, then your people have secrets. Here's a secret in the book of Joshua. Look here. Joshua, the second chapter. And we're going to begin reading in the first verse. It reads, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even to Jericho, and they went, and came to a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men here tonight of the children of Israel, search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that have come to you, which have entered into your house, for they have come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men to me, but I knew not from where they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them had gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said to the men, I know that Yahweh has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were in the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear to me by Yahweh, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." See, and that blessing was given to Rahab. And why? Because she protected Yah's people from being found. She didn't have to reveal this secret. She did lie to these men, which were the enemies of the Creator. It means what? Every secret don't need to be revealed. But what does this mean? That means if the men of death are seeking your brother's life, you protect them. It said in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, you don't say to the police officer that's trying to kill your people, yeah, he's right there. He's right over there. I don't know who you're talking about. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter, 16th verse, it says, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. Neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am Yah. Because if you were start going up and down as a talebearer, you might tell the wrong thing. And somebody can get hurt. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter. Proverbs 17. No, that's 17. The Proverbs 11. Verse 13 reads, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. And what does that mean? That means you don't got to tell everything. A secret is secret, therefore, is not to be known. And not only do talebearers tell secrets, they spread lies. Talebearers and gossipers are essentially one and the same. Because a talebearer just don't want to reveal secrets. They want to lie about the things that they already know. They hear one thing, and they just start telling about other things. Gossip. And all this is vain talk. None of this is about the wondrous works of Yahweh. You don't hear nobody gossiping about the order of two, Yah's name, gossiping about the heavens and the earth, gossiping about the wondrous lights that Yah created, gossiping about the law of the Creator. You can't gossip about Yah's law. That don't even mix. But you can sure gossip about who you think is a harlot, who you think is a whoremonger, who you think is a wicked person, who you think is this or who you think is that. Oh, I think because, you know, Sister so-and-so told me this, this, and this. So you know if this is the thing, you know the other thing got to be what it is. Because tale-bearing just don't be a revealing of a secret. That's the foundation of tale-bearing. But if you got the guts to tale-bear, you also got the guts to just start piling up lies on top of it. Say a tale-bearer reveals secrets. That's exactly what a tale-bearer is. He's telling everybody's business. Everybody's busy. Look in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, the 19th verse. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. And why? Why did the Most High have Solomon put that statement together? Because somebody that flatters you, that gives you all the kudos, all the flattery, all they trying to do is get close to you. Get you softened up so that you can start telling them all your secrets. They want to know. upon this scripture and let you know exactly what they're doing. Go to Proverbs 26, verse 25. In Proverbs 26 and 25, it says, and let's start at verse 22. The words of a talebearer. Let's start at verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. See, it's not just women that gossip. I know that's the stereotype, but men gossip too. And what's worse than a gossiping man? It's a if a talebearer causes strife, then a contentious man to kindle strife, a talebearer and a contentious man, they're going to be on the same playing field. The words of a talebearer, verse 22, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly because they lying and revealing secrets. They just cutting you up. That's a low blow, as they say. Burning lips and the wicked heart are like pottery covered with silver dross. He that hates disguises with his lips. Yeah, he flatters you. A hater. They gonna flatter you. Essentially saying this hater is gonna flatter you with his lips, disguises with his lips, and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks graciously, he starts to flatter you. Oh man, your shoes are awesome. Your pants are amazing. The way you shook my hand was just so great. Look at everything you, man, you awesome. You look like a king, a royal king, shining on top of a mountain. What's up, bro? All that flattery. Hey, hello. Look nice today. Why all the flattery? But a hater disguises with his lips and lays up deceit with him. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. So you don't want to be close to them type of folks, because a talebearer flatters with the lips. That's what they do. They need to know the secret. How you think they know all these secrets? How you think they know all this stuff? How you think they are able to know everybody's business? That's because they speak graciously. They make it seem like they are the right kind of person to talk to. Then you speak to them, you open your heart unto them, and next thing you know, all your business is in the country, all throughout the world, on every blog, in everybody's ear. Because a talebearer is going to tell your secrets. That's what they're going to do. Every single time. There's no escaping it. And the Creator, He wants you to be removed from this foolishness. He don't want you to get caught up in the foolishness of talebearing, of revealing someone's secret. That's why if you're dealing with a counselor, I mean, even in Babylon, the therapists and the counselors have to, they got policies where they can't talk about patient client privilege. even though they talk about you all day, the people that you think you don't know, but nevertheless, there's policies for it. So if there's policy, where do you think they get the policies from? Why? I mean, you're trying to protect the continuity of the institution in which they get to hear all your business. But if you go to a faithful, that what did the proverb earlier say that we read earlier? I think it was the 11th chapter. Yes. 13th verse. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. And what does that mean? So what is this saying? If you are a faithful man or woman, you're not going to run down as a talebearer. Somebody can counsel with you, confide in you, get advice from you, and it's not going to go past you. You're not going to, your words aren't going to be whispered in the ears of 10 and 20 and 30 other people, because that's a faithful spirit. Someone not going to run up and down as a talebearer. Let me show you what happened to a talebearer. He's also a liar. In the book of 1 Samuel, First chapter. No, the second Samuel, the first chapter. First verse. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. It came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes torn and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From where come you? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel have I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter, I pray you? Tell me. And he answered, That the people have fled from the battle, and many of the people also have fallen and are dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are also dead. And David said to the young man that told him, How know you that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead? And the young man said, As I happened to chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me. He called to me, and I answered, Here am I. He said to me, Who are you? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray you, upon me and slay me. For anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and had brought them here to my master. Then David took hold on his clothes and tore them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of Yahweh and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. And David said to the young man that told him, "From where are you?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite." And David said unto him, "How are you not afraid to stretch forth your hand to destroy Yahweh's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and fall upon him." And he smote him that he died. You see, what did this man think he was going to get from telling this story to David? I mean, not only did he carry a tale, was a tale bearer, but he lied. What did he lie about? He didn't kill Saul, because it'll show you how Saul died in the first book of Samuel. In chapter 31, verse 3, it says, "And the battle went grievously against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw your sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through, and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was very afraid, because that's Yahweh's anointed. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell upon it," meaning he killed himself. "And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men, the same day together. And when the men of Israel were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and set it into the land of the Philistines round about, to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people." So you see, that man lied. He didn't tell the truth. And he died. And he died for what? Because he said he put his hand on the anointed of Yah. That's why David took him out. Because you're not supposed to touch Yah's anointed. But he thought he would get a place in the kingdom, protection, or something by telling this story, by telling this lie. And all he got for it was death. Don't think, then this is what, man, he was being flat. He was flattered. He bowed to David. Oh, here's the crown. Though he might have came upon Saul and seen this crown on his dead head and took it off, he could have just said that. He could have just said, "I seen Saul. He was dead. His sons were dead. His armor bearer was dead. And I took the crown off of his head, and I'm bringing it to you." But he had to embellish. He had to lie. He had to speak more than it was, and be a tale bearer and a liar. And he didn't get any reward for it. At no time are you going to find it good to be a tale bearer, to reveal secrets, to tell stories, and to lie. And we got to ask Yahweh for mercy and forgiveness for all the lies and all the tales, all the bearing of tales, all the secrets that we've been saying out of our mouth. See, in Praise the mighty Yah, the 40-day fast. Well, today, we entered into the 40th day of the fast. So come morning, 40 days of this fast have been completed. And then tomorrow night, we begin 40 nights of fasting. But one of the reasons we're doing this is because what it says here in the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, verse 3, it says, "And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and by supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Master, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy unto them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Neither have we listened to your servants, the prophets, which spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Yehuda and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where you have driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against you. O Yahweh, to us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To Yahweh our Elohim belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and our judges that judged us by bringing upon us this great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem." And why? Because we have confusion of face. Because we have been immersed in idolatry, in false doctrine, in statutes that we cannot live by, in judgments that we cannot live by. We've been following the imagination of our own wicked hearts. And look what it says about the heart. Just to show you how deep it goes when it comes to lying and talebearing. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. We'll start reading in the 9th verse where it reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If this heart of ours is deceitful above all things, meaning that the heart, it lies to you better than anybody. The heart trick you every day. You fighting this heart all the time. And the only way to beat the heart is to break the heart. You got to have more control than the heart. You got to let the heart know, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to justify it. I'm not going to walk around it. I'm not going to make it look like it's okay. No. Fasting ain't just refraining from eating and drinking. You got to refrain from the things that allow you to go into all the ways that cause you trouble. Fast from your addictions. Fast from your iniquities. Fast from your vanities. Because the heart wants vanity. The heart wants the addiction. And the more you feed the heart, the more stronger it gets, the more sweeter its lies are, and the less strong your spirit is. So if you want to walk away from the lies and be a talebearer, you got to break this heart of ours. It got to be broken. Broken down. It got to be changed. And we're the only ones that have the power to change our hearts. Nobody else is going to change your heart. Nobody else. Only you and Yahweh can change your heart. But Yahweh told us to make within ourselves a new heart and a new spirit. That means stop gossiping. Stop being a carrier of tales, of lies, of deceit. The truth is always better. That's why the Creator said, every word of Elohim is pure. Add not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Carry the word of Yah, not the word of lies. If you go to the book of Proverbs, the ninth chapter, it says in verse 12, if you are wise, you shall be wise for yourself. But if you scorn, thou alone will bear it. That was spoke about yesterday. The simple and the scorner. If you scorn, if you speak against Yah, if you deal with all this negativity, you're the one that's going to bear it. You're the one that's going to have to deal with it. No one else, in the end of the matter, is going to have to deal with all this negativity but you. Then it says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him that lacks understanding, that wants understanding, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet. The secret waters, the stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knows not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Yet you don't want to sit around a bunch of secret tellers, speaking a bunch of secrets of other people, just talking about everybody else's secrets, and they form little organizations called cliques. And they just talk about everybody's secrets. And it's good for them. They say this bread that we eating in secret is pleasant. They got these cliques. And you can't be a part of it unless you got somebody's secret. Unless you got somebody's stolen waters. secret bread. Then you can be a part. Then you can be down with the crew. But if you're down with that crew, you're simple. And you don't know that you are among guests whose deaths are in hell. This does not sound like the clique that you want to be a part of. Now let me tell you the secrets that nobody wants to proclaim. Let me tell you the secrets that nobody wants to be happy with talking about. Yahweh has secrets that he wants you to expose. Look what it says in the book of Amos. And you see, you can make a decision for yourself. Whose crew you want to be a part of? Whose group you want to be in? Because Yahweh, if you like secrets so much, Yahweh got a path for you. In the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse reads, surely Yah will do nothing. Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. You know, Yah's messengers talk about secrets all the time. But it's the secrets that Yah will reveal. If you look in Psalms 25 and 14, it reads, the secret of Yahweh is with him that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. This is the secret that you want to talk about, Yah's secrets. Because if you know Yah's secrets, he revealed them to you. And if he revealed them to you, then you're supposed to talk about them. Look at Psalms 91, verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the secret you want to deal with. If we love secrets so much, we want to talk about secrets so much, why don't we talk about the secrets of the Most High? You don't have to lie when you talk about Yah's secrets. You don't got to tell any stories that's false when you're dealing with Yah's secrets. There's no reports that you got to raise that's wicked when you're dealing with Yahweh's secrets. All you got to do is speak about Yahweh and his secrets. The secret thing belongs unto Yahweh, but he reveals his secret to them that fear him. Those that don't fear Yahweh, which incidentally are fools, reveal the secrets of other people. And why? Because they don't fear Yahweh. But there's a group that talks about Yah's secrets in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. And there's a reason this group is so exclusive, is so small, is so reclusive. Because more people want to talk about my secrets, your secrets, and her secrets, and their secrets, than Yahweh's secrets. More people want to lie about me, about you, and about them, and they want to tell the truth about the Creator. Because where is the glory in knowing Yahweh's secrets? Because they get glory. They get friends. They get all kinds of things. Why do you think the United States has the best spy organizations in the world? Because they feel good and filled up. They feel like they know. They feel like they can be like Elohim if they know everybody's business. And you don't realize that's what you're going to do also? When you want to know everybody's business, you want to sit in the room, you look around, and you know everybody's business. And you can tell it who you feel like. You think that you have power in that. But the power is in knowing Yahweh's secrets. knowing Yahweh's secret things. In Malachi, the third chapter, the 16th verse reads, then they feared Yahweh, and if you fear Yahweh, then he lets you know his secret. They that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them, for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. Them that fear Yahweh, they speak to each other just as much as you talebearers speak to each other. Except the difference is, those that fear Yahweh, talking about Yahweh's secrets, are clean, are safe, and they're not harming anyone. And those are the type of secrets you want to talk about. And there's no lies and no secrets. There's no lies attached to those stories. It's just the truth. And Yahweh lives in truth. Where do we live? And so therefore, the conclusion of the matter is fear Elohim so you can know his secrets and keep his commandments. That's your whole duty. But if you want to go about as a tale bearer and a liar, then these are the things that Yahweh hate. These are the things that Yahweh count as abominations and that he will not allow in his holy mountain. So, until next week, or tomorrow, I'm sorry. Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. Shalom.